If you would take your Bibles this morning and go with me to Joshua chapter number 4. Joshua chapter number 4. Appreciate the investment of time and energy that has gone into preparing for this day. And I do trust that we'll honor the Lord and honor those that have given of themselves that we might be free in this land. Joshua chapter number 4. I want to speak this morning from this text in which the children of Israel were getting ready to cross into the promised land. And the Bible says in Joshua chapter number 4 and verse number 1, Joshua 4 and verse number 1, it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man, and Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up the 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bare the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Let's pray and ask God's blessings and direction the message this morning. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to reflect and to remember and to rehearse many events from our days gone by. Lord, I pray that you direct my thoughts this morning. I pray that this would be a challenge for each one as we think on the memorial that was established there on the other side of Jordan. Lord, would you help us to see your purpose in memorials this morning? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We read the story here in Joshua chapter number 4. The time frame in which the children of Israel passed over the Jordan River on dry ground. But if I could, for just a moment, take your thoughts to several months and years after this statement. And if you would, travel with me with the opportunity to look at maybe a father and a son. And maybe that boy has just reached 10 years old and they're walking back by this, and the son says to the dad, hey, dad, why are those stones there? And the dad is able to say to that boy, well, let me tell you a story. God intended for us to have memorials. In fact, God is the author of the first memorial. You might remember that when Noah came off the ark and had been there in the ark, remember the Bible says that God set a bow in the sky. And that bow was an identifier of the fact that God would never again destroy the earth in a flood. The other day we were walking out of the building, and I don't remember who was nearby, but as we walked out, we've had many a storm in recent days, and as we walked out of the building and turned to our left here in the skyline towards Springfield, you could see the entire rainbow, one side all the way to the other. It was magnificent. I started thinking to myself, I think there's something about this. I might be one of the only people in the history of mankind that's seen the entire rainbow. But you know, I was immediately reminded, God is the one that set that in place. And He intended it for a memorial for you and I to remember that He had in fact brought judgment upon the earth. But He'd never do that again. And so when you and I see that rainbow, we're to reflect on what God had brought in judgment. And we're to reflect on the grace of Almighty God because He spared Noah and his son, or his wife and his sons and their wives. It reminds us both of judgment, but it also reminds us of salvation in that God spared Noah and his family. There are many monuments in this area. I've said to you at different times that one of my favorite times in Washington, D.C. is in the evening hours. I'm not so much a fan of D.C. during the day. It's a crowded place. There's a ton of hustle and bustle, and there's all kinds of people coming and going, and at times you can become quite frustrated with the nature of the vehicles and of the traffic and everything involved. But if you can go in about 10:30 at night, where there's a stillness to the night, if you can be at the Lincoln Memorial with one or two other people in the solitary nature of that kind of setting, if you can walk around the World War II monument in the quietness of the darkness, and you have time to reflect on what all of those state monuments represent, if you have time to sit at the base of the Capitol and to think of that place and the fountains that abound there in the city, memorials have been placed all around us. And my friend, God meant for us to have times of remembrance. He meant for us to have memorials. He's the author of memorials. And when the children of Israel passed over the Jordan River on dry ground, I want to help us understand that there was no memorial at the passing over of the Red Sea, and it was actually a very different generation. In fact, there were only two left alive from the passing of the Red Sea. But now you have another miracle, and God causes the children of Israel to pass over the Jordan into the promised land, this land of dwelling. And so He establishes a memorial there that people might reflect on what God did. And so I say to you this morning that God has a purpose for our memorials. When you and I pass memorials that are either man-made or God-given, we ought to know the story of the memorial. God meant for the stones to tell a story to the generations that were to come, but He intended for the previous generations to have an understanding of the story so that they could tell the young people what had transpired. And I want you to see with me very quickly that God has a purpose in memorials. Number one, memorials remind us of the power of God. These stones were established there on the other side of the Jordan, and it tells us so much about what God had done for the people of Israel. Remember with me, if you would, the years that they were in bondage. Remember with me, if you would, the years that they were in slavery and were laboring there in Egypt. And it seemed as though it were impossible that they would ever be delivered from that status. And yet God sends Moses to bring them up out of Egypt. There's a memorial that's actually been established for the nature of the Passover. And God intended for Israel to remember that night in which the death angel passed over Egypt and spared those that had sprinkled the blood on their doorposts. These stones that are established would immediately direct people back to the power of Almighty God. And they'd say, well, where did these stones come from? Well, those stones came from the middle of the Jordan River when God miraculously set back both sides of that river and allowed the people to cross over on dry ground. It would seem impossible that the children of Israel would ever be brought up out of Egypt, but then much less to be brought to this promised land. It would seem that in all their despair and discouragement and all the disputings that took place while they were in the wilderness, it would seem an impossibility that there would ever be a day that they'd cross over into the promised land. But it is a reminder of the power of Almighty God. All of the promises of God had come true. He said, I will bring you up out of Egypt. I will deliver you to this land. And finally, my friend, after these days of encampment on the other side of the Jordan, they now pass over and they're brought to that land. Memorials remind us of the power of God. Number two, memorials remind us of the sacrifice of men and women. John chapter 15, verse number 13, the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Memorials remind us of the sacrifice of men and women. If you travel with me to Arlington Cemetery, if you travel with me to the beaches of Normandy, if you travel with me to Manila, in the Philippine American Cemetery, you will see the names of individual after individual that has sacrificed themselves that you and I might be free. I have just named three places, but my friend, they abound. And they represent the ultimate sacrifice that has been paid by men and women that have given of themselves that we might be free. If you go with me to the tomb of the unknown soldier and you see the statement known only to God, we understand that there are those that have given themselves that we might enjoy the freedoms of the United States of America. Is America perfect? No. Does America have ways that it can improve? Absolutely. But I'm telling you, my friend, there's no greater land on all the earth. I am so thankful to have seen other places around this globe, and there are many wonderful places around this globe, and I'm thankful for the contrast between cultures and peoples and all of those things, but I praise God that I was afforded the opportunity to be in this great land. And I recognize that this great land was not bought with a cheap price. It came at great cost. And if we will remain free, there will be a cost to pay. Memorials remind us of the power of Almighty God. Number two, memorials remind us of the sacrifice of men and women. But number three, memorials remind us of the wickedness of mankind. Shortly after the plane went down on 9/11 in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, my wife and I and my wife's family were up in Bedford, Pennsylvania. And we were at a conference that was nearby, and we got word that the city of Shanksville was not far away. And so we made preparations to be able to drive the 30, 40 minutes over to that location. And this was not long after 9/11 had occurred. And at that point in time, they just had a makeshift memorial there, and people had begun to bring items. They had set up I can't even remember exactly, but they'd set up just some kind of fencing there. And people began to place different items to show respect to those that have given their lives there on that flight. We're many years now removed from what happened on 9/11. And the monument has definitely expanded. And as we went to this conference year after year, we would make plans as a part of the trip to go back to Shanksville and to really kind of observe how the memorial was progressing. And so the time came that they began to make plans for a unified memorial and an official memorial. And so they began to take items away from that makeshift fencing and move it off of that location and then move it into a different setting. And it developed and developed and developed to much of what they have now, somewhat 17 years later. While we remember the sacrifice that was made by those men and women that were on that plane, we must also remember that wickedness was in the heart of men to bring about that horrible day. And we memorialize the individuals that determined amongst themselves that they were willing to give their lives that they might spare the lives of others. One plane had already hit the Pentagon, and the other plane was determined in all likelihood to come back to another location here in Washington, D.C., which no doubt may have affected people that are sitting in this very room. But that memorial in Shanksville, Pennsylvania was never intended. But the wickedness of man brought about that memorial. And because of good individuals that would take a stand against the wickedness of man, yes, we memorialize those that sacrifice themselves at that place, but we understand that that is a place that should not have a memorial. That is a plane that should have carried on. That is a plane that should have come to its destination. That is a plane that should have taken those people to their location and they should have continued on. But wicked men with a wicked deed in their heart determined to do evil. So while we know that there are memorials that have been established through the sacrifice of men and women, we understand that there are memorials that have gone up, and at the root of those memorials was the wickedness of mankind. But if I could share with you a fourth item, and this is the culmination of memorials. God has designed memorials to remind us of the power of God. God has designed memorials to remind us of the sacrifice of men and women. Memorials remind us of the wickedness of mankind. But number four, and I would desire that everyone sitting under the sound of my voice hear this well. Memorials remind us of the supreme sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. We have a time of memorial here in our church about every other month. We call it the Lord's Supper or Communion, and it is based upon what the Lord Jesus Christ did with His disciples. In Matthew 26, verses 26 to 28, the Lord said to the disciples as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And the Apostle Paul detailed this same night later on to the church at Corinth, and he said to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 25, For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The supreme memorial has been given to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are two things that we use to reflect that memorial. The first of that has been given to us in this Lord's Supper, and we participate in that as a local church. But my friend, there is another memorial to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is an empty tomb. And the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ is empty because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. If you travel with me just 18 to 20 miles across the way here, you will go and you will see the sacrificial gift that has been given by the lives of men and women. And we understand that one life has been lived and one life has been buried in a tomb. But there was a life that was lived. That life was perfect. That life was sinless. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ gave His life a ransom for all. And there's a memorial to that. We think of that old wooden cross in which the Romans determined to put the Lord Jesus Christ to death. But my friend, they were not successful in their ultimate desire in keeping Jesus in the grave. For Jesus rose from the dead. They desired a stone that it might cover the place of that sepulchre. They desired a seal that it might seal that tomb. They desired soldiers that they might stand and guard that place. But my friend, Jesus rose from the grave. And all of this was accomplished that you and I might reflect, remember, know, have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The Bible says that all of us have been born in sin. The Bible says that all of our sin is as filthy rags. The Bible says that there is a wage, there is a price to pay for our sins. The Bible has said that Jesus Christ was the demonstration of the love of the Father in that He was given to us that we might be redeemed from our sins. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, today's the day to meet Him as your Savior. We all stood with deep respect, I believe, for the flag and for the taps that were played. If you went with me right now to Arlington Cemetery and we stood and watched the soldier as he takes those 21 steps back and forth in front of that tomb, we would stand and in great reverence we would honor the sacrifice that has been made that we might be physically free. But I'm saying to you this morning that there is a memorial to something that is a greater sacrifice. And that memorial is the cross of Calvary and the empty tomb. And if you do not know Jesus this morning, my friend, it would be a shame for you to give honor to those that have sacrificed for your physical freedom and miss out altogether on the one that sacrificed for your eternal freedom. My friend, we are not saved by our own religious activity. We are not saved by our own religious works. We are not saved by our own righteousness. We can only be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And those boys and girls walked by in future generations and saw those stones. God intended for the generations to be able to tell the story. He intended for them to remember the sacrifices, to remember the power, the promises, to remember all those things as each of those stones was brought up out of the Jordan and delivered and set up. He had an intention behind that. And I am ever so thankful for the memorials that have been established that we might remember the sacrifices of others. But on this weekend, My friend, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then our desire above all else is that you meet Jesus. And Jesus paid it all. All to Him we owe. God designed memorials for our benefit. I wonder this morning if there's one or more that have not yet looked to that greatest of memorials, the empty tomb, and met Jesus as their Savior. Let's pray.